I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I am your host, Rod, joined as always by my DEI co-host,
Karen.
And we are live on a Wednesday, ready to wrap up the week. You can find us everywhere you find podcasts. The official weapon of the show is...
Phone jail.
The unofficial sport.
Bullyball.
Bullyball extreme. That's correct. You got it right.
Yay!
We can just kind of get into the show. I mean, do you have any banter?
Mm-mm.
I don't really think I have any either. I'm trying to think. I guess I do have banter. Hold on. Let me play some music.
Okay.
Shit. Hold on. So everybody.
Psycho.
Music.
I did have a couple things. First is I'm thinking about not doing my Black History Month countdown this year. I know people said they were looking forward to it, but I can't think of 29 more coons. Like,
I barely
I barely made it through the list last year. I was getting to the end. I was like, man, who else be cooning? Who else? Like, I was spending all day thinking about new coons and stuff. So I don't know if I'm going to do it, unless I'm going to have to repeat people from last year, which is basically like doing the same list again.
Mm-hmm.
I
could see you opting out this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to think about that. Maybe y'all look on TikTok tomorrow and I've thought of some stuff. But, also it was getting to the point where people were suggesting more Black people to talk about, but they were counting people that I don't think are coons. Like,
yes,
I know you may not like something, or that you may disagree with something somebody did or some shit, but it's like a real personal preference thing.
Yes,
where the person doesn't have a career of just anti-Blackness and hating Black people and never helping Black people.
Right.
So like, people put like Oprah on there, but Oprah's done a lot of shit for Black people. You still right. might not like it or think it's not enough.
Right.
That's different.
But she's not a coon.
Yeah. Like, you might not like Jay-Z. You might not like Beyonce. What? Like, people was, you know, it's like people were making like super personal choices, and there's people I don't like that are like Black celebrities that I'm like, oh, I hate that they did this, that, or the other. But I still try to holistically look at their careers and be like,
right,
yeah, that motherfucker might have some conservative tendencies, like say a Stephen A. Smith or a Charlamagne.
Right. But overall,
but I don't know that I would call them a coon. Like,
right.
Coon to me is like, you work for, you know, like against the best interests of Black people at all times. Just
all times. Like that's your whole thing.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't put, like, Michael Steele on that list.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I know he's a Black Republican, but mm-hmm. he's different to me than, yes. Obviously, Clarence Thomas. But
agreed.
I don't know. It's something to think about. I may do it if enough people ask about it or whatever. Or I may just have to repeat some people from last year and do it again. I don't know. But it's just something I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, lastly, I read that Benzino wrote a diss song, made a diss song for Eminem.
Benzino.
Yeah. You may know him from Love and Hip Hop, but he used to be like one of the like people behind the Source magazine. He used to be a rapper with this whack group called Made Men out of Boston.
I remember that.
That stabbed Paul Pierce, allegedly.
Yes, I remember that.
And he was never a good rapper. He actually used his influence at the Source to get Made Men. It was something like either 4.5 or 4 mics.
And that's when people start losing respect. People are like, this whack ass shit.
Yeah, and it lost all credibility for the Source. I've never looked at the Source again as like a standard. I know other people will say it was, but after that, for me, I there was no rating on any album that I could respect, because I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Everybody know that album was whack. People bought that album off the strength of that rating, because we didn't have the internet and previews and streaming and all that stuff. So people went to the store. I was one of them. Bought that album because they were like, oh, this is so good. And I was like, this is whack. And then later on, you find out through other publications like XXL and stuff like that, message boards and whatnot, that this nigga manipulated and forced them to kind of bully them into giving it a good ranking. So my point being, he was never a good rapper in the first place. And the only time people kind of wanted to side with him is when he beefed with Eminem, because, you know, there's a lot of black people that are very resentful of the fact that Eminem is great at rapping and one of the best to ever do it. And right. They don't like that he benefits from the double standard of being white and the privilege of it, even as he acknowledges that privilege, as he calls it out. You know, it's never going to be anything he can do for certain black folks. They just think we're like everybody that likes him is giving him some kind of pass that we wouldn't give other rappers or something, which, you know, as a fan of Eminem's music at the time, I disagree. I think he's white and he was one of the best at the same time. Yep, it just happens.
And he stood in his lane. Like, you know.
Yeah, he never did the shit that a lot of, like, what people accuse Justin Timberlake of.
Or, correct.
You know, where they dip in and out of hip hop and shit, or where all of a sudden they got opinions on what black people need to do with their, like, he's just like, I'm a white dude. But here's the thing I was thinking. Every time somebody disses Eminem, they pretty much lose. Because he's a better rapper than most of the people that choose to diss him.
Mm-hmm.
If not all. And then two, he spent 50, 60% of his career writing diss songs about his own mama.
Yes, and his baby's mama. Yeah.
If he don't give a fuck about them, he definitely don't give a fuck about you. You know what I mean? And, like, he's smart at understanding. He's kind of like Cat Williams to me. He understands the dynamics and the context of the room that he's in. So he ain't never overstepped. And, like, some black person disses him, he's never going to say the N-word to them. He's never going to use racial stereotypes to try to, like, because he knows it would immediately make the crowd turn on him. But he's also used all the ammunition of what you think is trashy about him in his own music.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
he went to people, I'm beating myself up, so there's nothing you can say and or do to make me look worse than I already make myself look.
Yeah, he's like, if you ever been in a physical fight, he's that kind of white guy that terrifies you in a physical fight, which is these white, okay, what am I going to say? You don't know. All right. Karen said, like, I know where this is going. I'm like, Karen, you ain't never fought no white boy.
No, I have not.
Right. Okay. But I appreciate you. Yes, Andy.
Okay. I'm trying to encourage and go along.
I know. It's just, you know, it's like, are you listening? You just, yes, Andy. All right. So what I'm saying is he's the kind of white dude that can terrify you. And I don't mean because of their stature, their size or whatever. It's those white dudes. I don't know if y'all have ever been in a fight with one of these guys, but they, like, hit themselves and shit. Like, you knock them down, and they, like, get up and punch themselves. And it's like, who the fuck am I fighting? What is wrong with you? Like, you start being concerned, even though you want to beat them up, you start being concerned about them. Like, are you all right, man? Like, you fighting some demons,
and
not
possibly
me.
Your own safety. Going, if you fuck yourself up, what is you gonna do to me?
Right, because if he's not the kind of person that has a tolerance, a pain threshold where I can be like, I have beaten you up enough that you will quit, because they're like, I beat myself up, bitch. It's like, oh God, this motherfucker is never gonna stop. That's Eminem and his style of, like, battle rap is. He beats himself up, and so then you start saying shit, and it just piles on what he said. Like, if you're like, oh, that's why you white trash, you piece of shit. He's like, yep. You benefit from white privilege. I know. You're like, fuck.
Right. I ran out of shit.
Your mama wasn't shit. That's what I be saying. Like, I...
Your baby mama a hoe. I rapped about it 3 songs ago.
Right. Yeah, you probably did fuck her. You probably did. She on pills and shit. Like, it's a wild dude to fight, and it's weird. I guess 2024 is just the official, like, diss year. You know, like, everyone's dissing. Ever since Cat Williams, I feel like everyone's airing grievances. Everyone's being messy. Everyone's putting it out there. Stuff that was behind the scenes or intimated is becoming very public. But Benzino trying to get in on the diss economy, I draw the line there. No, thank you.
No, thank you, sir.
Even Mos Def shit felt like he inadvertently stumbled into the diss territory, but he didn't write a rap.
He did not write a rap.
Yeah.
He did not put a beat to it.
He's just talking shit on a podcast. This is getting out of control, and I think Benzene knows where I draw the line, guys. We got to stop, okay? We don't need this.
Mm-mm.
Everybody needs to get along.
Right? Please.
We letting the corny people come back, and we can't have the cornballs coming back to the music. We went through this once with Benzino's music. No one wants to do this again.
Okay? I don't.
All right, now let's go into some other news.
Coronavirus.
Again? Look, here we go again. We got variants. Really need to keep a mask on hand and follow the plan. Get the vaccine and second shots, whether woman or man. Black Eye Who Tips is doing their part, but the dummies expand. Niggas would rather believe a bunch of misinformation. Fuck y'all idiots not getting shots. Now we gotta regress. If we keep going in this direction, we never can rest. Never can get back to the lives we be living the best. Damn fool, stop the lying. Stop the intubation crying, because it's your fault that motherfuckers dying, huh? Damn fool, stop the lying, stop the ventilator crying, cause it's your fault that motherfuckers dying. I do not understand this shit, I'm not a fan of this. We were like one win from the pandemic championship, but fuckers wanna leave it to game 7 with Giannis Antetokounmpo blocking forward progression and Chris middle fingers to your plans, man. Damn, huh. Looks like it's no Drew Holiday for you and your mans. I'm sick of black people dying for real, so I'm just writing this new piece to let you know how I feel, huh. Coronavirus, yeah. Fuck that COVID-19, it's unseen. It's creeping in the air for you to breathe, yeah. Huh, so fuck that COVID-19, it's unseen. It's creeping in the air for you to breathe, yeah.
Coronavirus
time, okay. We still out here, still things to talk about.
Yes.
Highly contagious hand, foot, mouth virus is spreading in Middle Tennessee.
The fuck is that?
I don't know.
All three, hand, foot, and mouth. What is you doing?
Said Brett Wolf woke up Sunday morning with 102-degree fever and chills. He tested for COVID, strep, and the flu. Everything came up negative. When the red spots on his hands and feet started multiplying, he sent pictures to a nurse who's also a family member. She immediately diagnosed him with hand, foot, and mouth disease, a mild contagious viral infection common in young children. Yeah.
So this is something that kids commonly get. Yeah, because they touching everything and rubbing on everything. They like diseases and sicknesses kind of all over them because they're kids.
Yeah, I have no idea how you get it. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Cast. How do I mute this? Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
I don't know how exactly you get it because, you know, it's literally something I've never heard or seen somebody get.
Mm-mm.
But it apparently, like from the pictures, gives you red blotches on your hands and feet. Ooh. And they scab over and blister.
Oh, so adults are catching it
and it's extremely contagious.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes I just think about how we just been out here living. I feel like the coronavirus brought a lot of awareness to shit.
Yes, it has.
Around right now, a man named Brett Wolf woke up Sunday morning with a fever and chills. He got tested for COVID, strep, and the flu, all negative. He started seeing these red spots on his hands and feet. He sent pictures to his nurse. She diagnosed it hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Now, we see the hand and foot. Is that also happening in his mouth? Is that where the mouth comes from?
Probably is.
Because I can't imagine anything more painful than that in your mouth. Mm-hmm.
You chose your hands, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's the best it's looked in about in all 5 days. Today, I'm finally pretty much scabbing over to where I don't think the blisters are contagious anymore. Ooh. And I can actually put on shoes.
The big problem that kids run into, especially when they get the sores and blisters in their mouth, is that it hurts. And because of that, because the blisters and the sores hurt, they stop eating and they stop drinking, and that puts them at risk for getting dry and dehydrated.
So that doctor says the disease does appear mostly in kids under 5, but adults can catch it by touching a child's blister, then putting their hands to their mouth or eyes, or when the infected child coughs. Now, Brett thinks he caught the disease from a coworker's toddler who came to his workplace over Christmas break.
Oh!
It is extremely, extremely contagious, and, I mean, having hundreds of blisters on you for 5 straight days is no fun.
This is why I always take off, take your kid to work day. No, thank you. I've seen your kids. You have pictures of them on your desk. That's all I need.
And there's no cure for this. Doctors say eventually the fever, body aches, and blisters will go away on their own.
Wow. Oh, no cure.
Wow.
No medicine.
You just have to go through it. And the thing about kids, you know, kids, you're trying to teach them and they're learning and they touch everything. And particularly at a certain age, that's why it's five and under, because they tasting everything and touching everything and putting everything in their mouth and rubbing on everything. And it's kind of, you know, hard and to get them to understand to wash their hands and shit like that, because they don't know, you know, that they're developing. But that's why they're highly likely to get it than probably any other age group.
The U.S. is still recording 1,500 COVID deaths each week as cases surge around the globe.
Each week still?
Yeah, it's a weird thing because it's not even close to the peak. Mm-mm. But, I mean, obviously this thing isn't done with us. And then,
correct.
And I mean, we knew that this would be here to stay forever. We knew this. We knew that we have these vaccines out here and we know people aren't taking them, you know? And people are just choosing to, like, go through life, like, whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
In health news, wastewater testing shows the U.S. is in the greatest COVID-19 surge since Omicron, making it the second largest surge of the pandemic. Around 1,500 people in the U.S. are still dying from COVID every week. Public health experts say two of the main reasons are waning immunity and not enough people accessing treatments and vaccinations.
Right, because numbers and statistics have showed it's not that people don't get it, but people who do get it, then they're up to date, you know, because now if, you know, if you got your first shot or second shot, or you haven't got like the booster, you know, like you say, that shit is waning off. You know, a been gone, but you out here thinking you covered and you're not. And I think that's a problem. People go, well, I got the shot, the booster, that's it. No, it was a continual thing for a reason, so that after a certain period of time, it goes down and you have to, you know, go back again. But for a lot of people, for whatever reason, they opted out. Numbers and statistics are going to show that people are like, fuck it, I'm going outside raw, and then they're getting sick.
The WHO reports 10,000 COVID deaths were recorded in December, while hospitalizations increased in dozens of countries. In Spain, authorities have reissued face mask mandates in health facilities. The International Court of Justice in The Hague has begun hearing. Wait, what? How's that? That's not. Oh, that's the name. That's the end of the article to a new article. All right, cool. So yes, people are still dying from it. I think that article could have used a little bit more perspective of, like, at the peak, this many people was dying, because it has come down. And I think we can be alarmist when we don't put things in context.
Agreed.
Because I do want people to know it's safer out here. It's just never going to be 100% safe.
Right. And truth be told, it never has been. But this is the reason why you get vaccinated and your boosters and your flu shot, like other shit prior to COVID. You know, that's why they were people got like people have been dying for them. No, bitch, because the vast majority of us got our shots to protect you dummies and the people that have immune compromising systems.
Paul Simon unlikely to perform live again due to sudden hearing loss. Paul Simon got COVID. He's 81 years old. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame musician and co-founder of Simon & Garfunkel. He told the British newspaper The Times that the hearing in his left ear deteriorated? I don't know. While he was in the studio working on 7 songs, which came out May 19th, nobody has an explanation for it, so everything became more difficult. My reaction to that was frustration and annoyance. Not quite anger yet, because I thought it would pass, it would repair itself. He performed one of his last live shows in San Francisco in 2019. He added that he recently survived a severe bout of COVID-19, which has been linked to sudden irreversible hearing loss in some patients.
Ooh.
Boy, have I been beaten up in these last couple of years, but I look good, right? Even
that's
though
some
it's
shit they don't tell you about.
I mean, you do hear about this stuff. I don't know. I mean, it's not one of the main things.
Right.
It's
just, that's what I mean.
We hear about all this stuff. Like, they don't understand everything that can happen with COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear about chronic symptoms, people having tinnitus,
fatigue.
We've talked about it on this show before. So it is out. This information is out there. This is a very low chance that you will get it and then get one of these symptoms, but it can happen. Even though his hearing has yet to recover, he said he felt a sense of relief in being able to step away from the stage.
He's been performing for decades.
That's weird. That's like, he's like, at 81, finally, I can take a vacation. I don't.
I can take a break.
Songs of mine that I don't want to sing live, I don't sing them. Sometimes there are songs that I like, and then a certain point in the tour, I'll say, what the F are you doing, Paul? Quite often, that will come during a You Can Call Me Al. I think, what are you doing? You're like a Paul Simon cover band. You should get off the road and go home.
He feels like this about himself.
He technically retired from the road following the 2018 Homeward Bound farewell tour. So he's one of these people that did a farewell tour and then came back. Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's got to be awkward. Because, I'm not saying you should blame yourself, but I wonder if he blames himself because, I had a Michael Jordan in Utah moment, and then I came back and tried to do Michael Jordan for the Wizards and caught COVID, and now I can't hear.
I'd have been better off staying my ass at
the house. I wonder if he ever, I mean, it's not fair, but I just wonder if he's ever why couldn't I just be retired and not be around all these, why did I need to be around all these motherfuckers, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's scary.
It is.
Like, as a podcaster, I just suddenly had hearing problems because of COVID. It's like, what do you do for the rest of your life? He also said, Simon, who asked his fans listening to the album uninterrupted, said the song Wait unintentionally forced him to contemplate the song Wait. Unintentionally forced him to contemplate his mortality. It's a spooky thing to be writing something and just be thinking, oh, this is what the song needs. He said, tearing up. And then it's, by the way, this is you. You're actually the subject of this. It's just the age we're at. Gordon Lightfoot just passed away. Jeff Beck, too. My generation's time is up, he said.
Mm. Yeah, and as you get older, loss is a part of life.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you either losing or you wanted to lost, you know. America's measles outbreak. 4 states now reporting cases as Philadelphia offers free measles, mumps, rubella shots to thousands. But will they get them?
Will they get them?
Are people not getting the shots because they cost money, or are they just not getting the shots?
A lot of people are just not getting the shots. And I'm like, all other shots, please. You know, anytime, you know, as you get older, they be like, yeah, you need a whatchamacallit shot. Okay, bitch, you need a shink. Okay, whatever shots you say I need, stick me. What the fuck we talk about here?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the problem has ever been the cost. I think we now have a society where everything's politicized and divided, and there are people who are straight up like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. Consequences be damned, you know. Yeah. You know, they don't care about themselves. They don't care about the community. They don't care about the kids. They don't care the people around them. They don't care if they die. They don't care if you die. None of that shit matters to them, because when you make a decision like that, you have basically said, I just don't care.
Yeah, it's like, what? They're more worried about what it says about them to be a person that gets vaccinated than what it means for society or their health. It's like everything is now a cause. Everything's a team, a sporting event. Even shit that used to not be that way, which was getting vaccinated. It was just a thing you did because you're supposed to do it. And if you didn't, you were the fucking weirdo. We were like, those are the weird people that didn't get their kid vaccinated.
Right.
You know, they make special TV episodes about those parents who are like, Jesus will save my sick child. And we're like, this motherfucker killing their kid. That kid gonna die from rubella, mm-hmm. or some motherfucking
polio, some shit.
Little House on the Prairie bullshit, mm-hmm. because they didn't get vaccinated. And we used to make TV shows and go, what weird, abusive, cult-like shit. And now it's like, I don't know, 30% of the country feels that way because they've been on QAnon message boards and conservative AM radio, and Fox News is telling them not to do it as they're vaccinated at Fox News, because you can't be unvaccinated and talk on Fox News for a living. Like, this right. is what the fuck we're dealing with. And it's having real effects.
It sure is. So I'm like, you know what? I don't have time for this. Like I said before, I'm taking all of the shots, because I'm like, mm-mm. And the thing is, none of these shots promise you won't catch shit. All they saying, if something does happen, you won't have, your body won't be as much of a wreck and fucked up, and you recover quicker.
COVID-19 school protocols in Oakland will now allow kids who test positive for COVID-19 to come back to the classroom as long as they wear a mask.
Yeah, because people really push, let's get back to normal. And getting back to normal is like, fuck it, we just don't care. We don't care. How can we? Because the thing is, people want these things, I understand. But when you have states, cities, municipalities, and the federal government cutting funding, chopping. I was listening to the local NPR station here, and they was talking about a lot of COVID funding that's ending and stopping, you know, that was pushed to the school system, billions of dollars. You know, Charlotte CMS, you know, they're going to have a few million dollar shortfall because they counted on a lot of money coming from the federal government to hire new teachers, to, you know, expand. You know, people got to clean. Like, it's a lot that went into this, and when everybody's in such a rush to get their ass back outside and get to normal, this is the shit that happens. Everybody like, we can't stop just because you got COVID.
Well, also, people are back at work in person. So their kids have to go back to school.
Right.
So you used to, at least we had so many allowances during COVID and so much empathy and adjustment. And I shouldn't even say empathy. It's really self-interest and fear. But the point being, there was a time where it's like, my kid has COVID. Everyone's like, then you need to stay home and your kid needs to stay home. We will see you in 10 days or whatever it was. And at some point, once the wheels of the economy and capitalism started back up, it's like, okay, that's the flu now. That's if your kid goes to school and a bunch of other kids get sick, they fall for not being vaccinated. Or
right.
You know, hopefully the vaccine will make it not too bad and they just all wear masks and don't worry about it.
Yeah.
What happens when the kid goes to lunch and they got to eat lunch? What are the protocols for that? You know, what happens if, you know, the kid does somehow, you know, use the bathroom? Or what if the kid gets sicker, you know, at school? Then, like, there's a lot of stuff that can happen.
Right,
and we're just like, this is now life.
Yes, when jobs started that, bring your ass back to work 5 days a week, fuck it. Yes, parents are like, well, if I have to go to work, I guess you have to go to school. You can't stay here.
Mm-hmm. They said with over 34,000 students enrolled in OUSD schools, it is important to note that the virus is still contagious. However, the district is adapting to the evolving landscape of COVID-19. The California Department of Public Health officials attribute reduced impacts to the broader immunity from vaccination, along with the availability of effective treatments for the infected individuals. The latest guidance suggests a departure from the previous 5-day isolation period recommendation following a positive COVID-19 test. The masking mandate, initially placed in April 2022, was also lifted by the Oakland Unified School District. For those that aren't COVID-19 positive, wearing masks at school is now optional for staff members and students. So, yeah, this is where we at with it, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild out here.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's see what else we want to talk about. Let's go to another segment. Where's my segment music? There we go.
Let me see what you want to be. You better move your body. You better move your feet. And I want to groove. Show me what's cool. Riding Karen, baby. LGBTQ news.
We're trying to take us down, but we still around.
We lit. We lit.
I try to still shine, but we on the ride.
We lit. We lit.
But you can't do what we're about to do.
We lit.
All right, LGBTQ news. You know it's mostly bad. Come on. Y'all knew that. Ohio bans gender-affirming care and restricts transgender athletes despite the GOP governor's veto. So the Republican governor was like, this is a bad look. But the state representatorship was like, we don't give a fuck. We're overriding Governor Mike DeWine's veto, and we are passing this bigoted bullshit anyway.
All right. That's what happened when a lot of these people who are on the extreme started getting these positions. It was cute at first, but no, it was like, y'all not going far enough.
What's crazy? I mean, I guess
started
it's not crazy.
Tea party.
I guess it's not crazy, and I guess it will continue anyway. But it incenses me how little the Republicans actually govern and do anything about, like, issues that people are truly like economically affected by in the way that they talk about economics. Now these issues are economic issues to the people affected by them, but my point being, like, they spend so much time just passing stupid shit like this, you know, trying to impeach the person that's in charge of the border and stuff, like just weird social shit like this. And I guess this is what the people voted for. I think a lot of these angry grievance motherfuckers aren't even really voting for these issues as much as they're voting against Democrats.
Right.
Which is why the reason I talk about how I don't feel conflicted voting Democrat ever is because I am an angry, petty person in that way too, in that I'm never really voting for Democrats in 100%, just like, because it's just, you know, that all the policies and everything they do I agree with. I'm always voting because these motherfuckers exist, and they, unlike us, don't quibble. They not sitting over there fighting with each other. They just be like, fuck it. We don't care what's going to happen. We don't care about the pain of other people. So somebody got to keep the same energy. But
right.
In addition to that, you know, these issues do affect people. They do send the messages to trans kids, especially, who are at higher risk for dying by suicide.
And their guardians that care and love for them.
And their families that love them, because mm-hmm. who gets gender-affirming care? People whose families are affirming.
Yes.
So these are the families that are adults and made these decisions, informed decisions with their doctors, healthcare professionals, and their children in mind. And there, so much for life and liberty, so much for freedom of speech, so much for your body, so much for small government. They throw all that shit out the window, to the point where even when the governor, who's a Republican, is like, this is a bad look. This is the kind of shit that comes back to haunt us at the polls in motherfucking 2024,
right,
when it's time to vote. This is the kind of shit that activates people
out of office, right?
And they're like, nah, fuck that. The override cleared 24-8, mostly along party lines. Except for this one Republican Senator, Nathan Manning, who has consistently broken with his party on the issue. They expect the law to take effect in roughly 90 days. So, yeah, a lot of people are going to be affected by this shit. Mm-hmm. And once again, it's the message of it. I shouldn't say a lot of people. It's not about the number of people being affected. Mm-hmm. It's just the message. A lot of people will be affected by the message that they're sending.
Mm-hmm.
Parents get sentenced to prison for vicious abuse used to turn their gay son straight. An Italian court has sentenced the parents of a gay teen to prison for a series of abusive acts in an attempt to force their son to be straight. An Italian publication, La Stampa, detailed how the now 18-year-old's father,
okay,
read his diary when he was 14 and discovered he was gay. Afterward, he forced him to go for runs in the middle of the night, banned him from shaving, made him show his genitals, and also forced him to read pages from his diary out loud. The teen's father also took over his social media accounts and began controlling who he spoke to and where he went. After the father was turned down by a psychologist who told him homosexuality was not an illness, he then told his son that he must prove that he'd slept with a girl within a month. The teen could not handle it anymore and turned to the school psychologist for help. The father has been sentenced to 2 years in prison. The mother has been sentenced to 1 year and 4 months for witnessing the abuse and doing nothing to stop it. The judge, however, granted the couple conditional suspension of their sentence if they take a year-long psychological and remedial course. Italy's far-right government has contributed to the perpetuation of homophobia in the nation as of late. Yeah, the people in office and the people in charge also send messages to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I think a lot of people refuse to admit whenever they try to opt out of, like, it doesn't matter who's in office. But hate crimes went up under Trump for a reason.
Yes, they did. They went through the roof.
There's a reason that they went down under Biden. There's a reason. There's a reason they went down under Obama. Like, there's a reason after 9/11 hate crimes went up on people that would seek everybody. Muslim, it didn't matter. They were just like, brown enough. When Trump was talking about the China virus, stop Asian hate was trending and shit because Asian people was getting beat up.
Right, just living their normal lives, like in restaurants, who just fucking them up for no reason.
And it's, I think when people abdicate from this situation and don't choose to mitigate harm, this is part of it. And LGBTQ people obviously experiencing extreme levels of hate right now, because half of our country is literally making it their business to run on hating them. And yeah, Italy's no different. Far right government, you're gonna get some far right motherfuckers out here feeling emboldened.
Yeah, far right. Far right ain't an American thing. That shit is all over the world.
A gender affirming care clinic was burned down in a horrific arson.
Oh no.
Yeah, I told you it was all bad news. This is terrorism. Firefighters in Decatur, Georgia, have determined that an October fire at a local gender-affirming care clinic was intentionally set in a move one activist has labeled as terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Like that, when they do the abortion clinics, same thing. It's terrorism.
Yeah. The fire in the city's historic Blair Building was contained to one office and no injuries were reported, according to a recent statement from the fire department. The statement expressed that an investigation has determined the fire to be incendiary in nature, indicating the fire was intentionally set. The Blair Building houses several medical providers, but a police report confirms that the target of the fire was QMed, which focuses on gender-affirming care. And a lot of times, it's like how Nicki Minaj doxes people, right? Like, you don't have to come out and say, like, kill these people, but you just go, this is where they live. Now I know what to do. Right. And then when you see, this is why that woman, Libs of TikTok woman, is so dangerous, and putting her in an official capacity in a governmental role
makes no sense.
It makes no sense, because this is a person that doxes people knowing that they will be terrorized. But the QMed owner, Dr. Izzy Lowell, said, "We won't be intimidated. We will not stop providing life-saving care to our patients." While the office is completely destroyed, Lowell said the clinic is seeing patients remotely. She also confirmed the FBI is investigating the arson attack as a hate crime.
Well, that's good.
So yeah, shout out to not being afraid, you know, because it's gonna take a lot of that, because these motherfuckers ain't afraid.
No, they're not.
Conservative Christians rage at unnatural TurboTax ad showing a loving gay couple. Oh no!
Yeah, that one on the boat.
Not a loving gay couple.
Did they be showing?
I don't know if it's Doug and Andre, mixed race couple.
Yes, the one they be showing, they joke about getting the
motorhome.
Yes. Yeah. I realized that. I was like, oh, that's cute. And I personally just kept it trucking.
Honestly, Karen, I'm so woke, I didn't even know they were gay. I didn't even pay, because it's just so normal to a person like me that lives their raps. You know, I didn't even notice it as a thing to plat them on the back. I said, oh my God. When I was reading this article, I said, that's what that ad was about.
Okay, Mo Woke.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be so woke on you, okay?
Okay, Mo Woke.
I didn't know I was going to, you know, listen.
I'm sorry if people think that a white man can't enjoy black history.
All right.
I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry if people think that a white man can't love Martin Luther King.
Yeah, some people just, you know, when you're so woke sometimes, it's like you don't even realize that you should be patting people on the back, because you just,
okay,
you're like, I'm beyond that. I'm post-woke.
Okay. You know? I guess I'm not that woke. My bad.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like how some people don't realize the new Annie in the Popeyes commercial is a new actress, you know? Like, they don't even see the difference.
And she's thicker.
But yeah, man, they mad about this.
Child, something I don't think twice about. That commercial be on 6 seconds in and out. Like, ooh, TurboTax, and just going about my
business. First of all, gay people need to file taxes too.
Yes,
and
they
make more money on average than straight people. So like,
yes, they do.
TurboTax is doing some good capitalism over there.
TurboTax is like, they money spend too.
There's a lot of dual income, no kids on that side.
Mm-hmm.
It appears that TurboTax promotes same-sex marriage to please a small portion of the population while pushing away the much larger percentage of potential conservative customers. Millions of Americans strongly believe marriage should be between one man and one woman.
The fuck they got to do with taxes?
But TurboTax would rather take sides than remain neutral in the culture war. You know what's funny is, like, if they would have shown straight couples, no one would have said they were picking a side.
Agreed.
It would have just been like, that's a commercial. The second they showed a gay couple, it became a DEI pilot on the airplane to them. It's like, what the fuck?
TurboTax, like, 10% is 10%. We don't care.
Right. What is this black guy doing on his horse? Yeah, in an attempt to redefine family, TurboTax is using public airwaves as subject. Families, they always love talking shit up. Public airwaves, it's just commercial space that they pay for. Public airwaves.
Anybody could pay for.
The fuck are you talking
about? You can change the channel, and you're not forced to watch any of this.
This is they're forcing it down our throats bullshit again. But yeah, they said to subject families to the decay of morals and values while belittling the sanctity of marriage. Even though homosexuality is unnatural, this advertising is pushing the LGBTQ agenda. Yeah. So yeah, I guess they mad. OMM, the people that were mad about it, is an offshoot of the anti-LGBTQ plus American Family Association. It then encourages followers to sign a petition. They got 13,000 signatures so far. If I was TurboTax, I'd be happy for this free advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I understand TurboTax is business, but I was TurboTax. Next time I come up, we'd be all rainbows and shit. Yeah. Like, I'd be like, oh, y'all mad?
Yeah. Like, when you walk up in my motherfucking TurboTax office and the door open, it'd be like, won't you take me too? Okay, Tur.
Yes! You make me
feel. Right.
Mighty real.
Right. You have to turn the music down when the Republicans come in.
I know, right? They're like, huh? Can't hear you.
Hold on 1 second. Let me turn this down. Come on, chameleon.
But like, why are you on roller skates? Oh, everybody, it's mandatory. Yeah. You must wear roller skates.
Ooh, ooh.
Like, yes.
Yeah, that's just stupid, man. God, y'all ain't got no problems.
No problems at all. No real issues.
I wish I would hate somebody for just some shit they can't change. I wish I would, for real. I don't have the time. Other shit is happening, y'all. And lastly, in the most downer, worst story of the week.
Oh no!
A major LGBTQ plus activist was brutally stabbed in Uganda's anti-gay law. And Uganda's anti-gay law is to blame. This shit has real consequences, man.
Oh no!
It has real consequences. Who's in charge has real consequences. So, of course, they passed a law to criminalize same-sex relationships, but also systemically target LGBTQ plus activists. Stephen Kabuye is a prominent Ugandan LGBTQ plus rights activist. He was recently stabbed and left for dead outside his home by two men on a motorcycle who had been following him for a number of days. Graphic video footage shared on Twitter show Kabuye writhing in pain, a visible laceration stretch across his arm, and a knife embedded in his abdomen. Kabuye is an activist and editor of Colored Voices Media Foundation Truth to LGBTQ Uganda. He was ambushed on his way to work. His helmet-wearing assailants swung the knife at him, aiming at his neck, which he shields with his right arm in the video. As he attempted to flee, the attackers chased him and stabbed him in the stomach. Kabuye was discovered by residents and taken to a local hospital for emergency surgery. The president of Uganda, Yoweri Museveni, recently signed into law one of the most severe anti-gay bills in the world. It stipulates long prison sentences and capital punishments for aggravated homosexuality. It has also intensified homophobic sentiment nationwide. Who's in charge matters.
Right. Who's in charge matters.
A surge in attacks and arrests have been reported all over the country since the signing of the law. LGBTQ plus rights activists said the bill has led to a rise in abuse, including torture, rape, and evictions against LGBTQ plus Ugandans by private citizens. Yeah, because they're not going to wait for the government to do it. The government just told you these people are not protected. And ultimately, people are like fucking cavemen. Like, oh, okay, so it's open season. You know, the kind of people that are diabolical, despicable, and always looking for somebody to hate, all they need to know is that they won't get in trouble, and they're going to be right there.
Yes. Yes, and that's the same bullshit Donald Trump does. I don't know why people can't see it.
Right. So, yeah, it's sad shit. But, well, actually, no, let's end on one positive one. President Joe Biden is on his way to appoint a record number of LGBTQ plus judges.
Let's go.
So it's not just black women, black people, people of color. Like the White House, the Biden administration is trying to fill these seats with as much diversity and excellence as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is the opposite of Trump. It was just like, give us a dumb white person that just supports anything conservative. Doesn't matter if it's in the law or not. We just need judges that just will do whatever regressive shit we want to do. And Joe Biden's out here trying to finding qualified candidates of many diverse backgrounds and putting them in. And a lot of times what happens is we'll celebrate, oh, black people, black women, but we'll leave out LGBTQ for some reason. We'll leave out that as if it's not also part of the diversity.
Yeah, it's part of the diversity. And also, like any other marginalized group, a lot of times they've been bypassed for these positions that they probably should have got decades ago. People probably came in before them and got promoted over them. And so a lot of times they're going, who are these people basically that got skipped, bypassed, that's probably overqualified for the position that they are? Let's give them a higher position so they can do their job, something that they actually deserved.
And also, it shows that they're being intentional.
Right.
Like, I made that joke about, I didn't even know those guys were gay, but that's a joke. You know, like, of course I knew in that our ad that, oh, it's a gay couple. But it's good to know, because you need to see this. You can't measure change you can't see if you don't see it. It's why I don't like the I don't see color. I don't like that shit, because it's like,
it makes me mad. Yeah.
But it's okay to see. You're only saying that because you think seeing color is a bad thing. No, the intent of what you want to do to somebody once you notice their color, that's where something bad kicks in, if your intentions change. But yeah, so I like that the Biden administration is being proactive and intentional with these appointments. And yeah, I would love to see this record, broken. So yeah, shout out to the Biden administration. All right. Let's get into some other news, see what else is going on here. Let me play some music. All right. A white Vogue magazine director slams Megan Thee Stallion and Black Twitter goes off. So a Vogue employee tried to slyly diss the Hiss rapper, and now social media users are calling for him to be fired.
Okay.
Sergio Kletnoy, I guess is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I put up the picture of him. They have a picture of him with Nicki Minaj, I guess. I don't know if they met or something. Oh, screenshot taken from Nicki Minaj's Instagram. Okay, I don't know if he's the guy here, but yeah, so it seemed that he was making light of Megan Thee Stallion being shot in the foot during the live stream, as well as on the song Bigfoot. Nicki Minaj mocks the fact that Megan was shot by Tory Lanez. She called the body rapper a bullet fragment foot bitch. Kletnoy added insult to injury by commenting with numerous foot emojis and commenting, not fragment foot, LOL, not even a whole foot. Kletnoy's role as the prestigious fashion magazine includes booking celebrities for photo shoots as well as interviews, which translate to him having a lot of power. When fans noticed, they began to call him out.
Right, because they was like, you can't do this because of the position that you hold out. Like, you're dealing with a magazine and you're dealing with celebrity, like you're going to be interacting with all types of people. And I don't know if she's ever been on Vogue, but she may be at some period of time. It was like, the fuck is this, sir?
This is also why stan culture shit is so dumb, because a lot of people think it's like rooting for a sports team. These are real fucking human beings.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the Saints versus the Chiefs, dog. This is an actual person was shot in the foot by a man and went through a whole fucking trial, and this man was found guilty. Just because somebody put it in a rap don't necessarily mean that you and your professional ass position, knowing that you have to deal with probably all kinds of rap artists and probably both of these women separately,
right,
need to be out here rooting like you're rooting for a team. It's crazy.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, someone said, if Vogue magazine at Vogue Runway do not dismiss Sergio Kletnoy, then I'm just going to assume that work environment is one of hostility towards women victims and that they are a corporation which tolerates the mocking of abuse sufferers. In November, Nikki covered Vogue for the first time, and one of her Instagram posts, she went out of her way to thank him personally. So maybe he felt like I owe her or I'm team her or whatever.
Okay, but you can keep that shit to yourself.
So he released an apology over the weekend. I'm a huge music lover and support many artists, especially female artists. Everyone who knows me knows I know I love Nicki, Megan, and so many other musicians. I joined a live stream for one of my favorite artists and was excited to hear where there's a new song from her. Kletnoy posted on his Instagram story. I made comments that unfortunately were taken the wrong way.
No, they were not.
I never meant to mock or insult anyone and have always been a fan of both women. My apologies if my comments offended or hurt anyone.
Not true.
It's not literally true impossible all. You didn't mean to mock her. I mean, right. The line is mocking her and you're like, ha, ha, ha. And then be like,
how are people supposed to take that?
Yeah, not the whole foot, fragment foot, ha, ha, ha. Not to mention that kind of means he didn't understand the rap line because it's about a bullet fragment being in her foot, not a fragment of a foot. You didn't understand that? Anyway.
Because somebody got in his ass and was like, hey, dog, you can't do this representing our magazine.
Well, I don't know if they got him to him or not. He might be trying to get ahead of it because it went viral.
That's true, too.
But he set his Instagram page to private.
Yeah, because people probably kept commenting like, hey.
Right. So that's one of the latest things. The other thing is... the cemetery where Megan Thee Stallion's mother is buried increased security at their gravesite was doxxed online.
Oh, no!
Yeah, and TMZ called the cemetery, and the cemetery did confirm that they are ramping up patrol and security. Because I saw that on Twitter or somewhere they were saying, like, Joe Budden interviewed Nicki Minaj, and Joe Budden was like, I don't even think, you know, that's real low how she leaked that her PR people said to the press that they had to up security at the cemetery. And then so TMZ called the cemetery and the cemetery said, yeah, we did. So
they see these nutsoes online.
Right. Right. And of course, and Nicki has a history of her stands doxing people and her kind of seemingly encouraging it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can see why somebody would go through extra lengths to have some security, and probably something is still going to happen to that gravesite. I think these motherfuckers are out of control online, and it's like rooting for a sports team to them. They don't see these people as people. So I would not be shocked if that's what happens. But yes, yeah, it's wild. Let's see what else is happening. Nope. Don't care about this. So, I'm like, well, I'll save these articles. I don't give a fuck about this shit.
I can't then. I don't care now.
Yeah. I'm just saving this shit just to save it.
You don't even remember why you picked it.
Uber Eats will start accepting SNAP benefits in 2024.
Uber want all your money.
We are gaining recipes.
Yes, we are. As they should. You ought to be able to receive the same benefits as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
two for ones is back, baby.
Yes. And have the convenience of a VPN delivered to your house, particularly, you know, you might be disability or anything like that. Like, you like, hey, now I don't have to go out and ride the bus and all that stuff, you know, out of the convenience for some. It's a convenient thing for a lot of people. So I don't blame them. Yes.
Here's what I wonder. Are sales dying down?
Possibility.
Because, you know, it's not like these restaurants do this, like Uber and these apps, these Silicon Valley apps. They don't really do shit out the goodness of their heart. That's not their bag. And so I do have to wonder if they're like, you know, we need an extra revenue stream. How can we accept SNAP benefits just so we can get it? I have no issue with it. As you said, a lot of people will have issues out of like a place of like, you know, capitalism and jealousy and be like, oh, you shouldn't be able to get Uber Eats. If you own the government, you should have to go to the store, eat nothing but broccoli and with no salt, no pepper. Y'all, like that's how a lot of people approach anything dealing with poverty and government benefits. That's not my issue. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they would ever do some shit out the goodness of their heart. And I'm imagining, especially with the higher cost of food on food apps, if it's like an extra losing proposition, because they're not going to like discount you. They're not going to be like, you're on SNAP. We're going to cut down our delivery fee. We're going to cut down on these price increases on the, I feel like they're going to be like, yeah, you're on SNAP, but you still owe us that $10 delivery fee plus all this other shit.
Right. And also, not trying to be funny, it's a lot of the fucking delivery apps. Mm-hmm. So honestly, when I want shit delivered, Uber Eats ain't on the top of my agenda. I can't speak for nobody else.
Well, a lot of people do use Uber Eats, but the thing is, they're not even talking about just delivering food. It's groceries, too. So, like, you know, it's okay. Like if you use like Instacart.
Okay.
Which, I don't know. Maybe Instacart takes Snap already. I don't know, but.
They were like, well, if they take it, we need to get in this business, too. That's true.
Additionally, the company revealed its collaboration with specific healthcare plans to expand the array of payment options available for grocery orders. We are working with managed Medicaid and Medicare Advantage plans to support benefits to help members stay healthy. Like, accepting FSA cards, flex cards, and relevant waiver payments on Uber. Select payment methods will be ready in 2024. This is yet another way we're simplifying how people can access healthy foods and connect to their local grocers in new ways.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes, man. I'll see if anybody's using it. And they use
somebody it said Instacart does take Snap.
Okay, yeah. So maybe it's just...
They want to get to the standard, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're just trying to expand and give people some options. The IRS to crack down on 1,600 millionaires to collect millions of dollars in back taxes.
Get that money. Get that money. Like I said, I don't know, remember the dude's name, but dude got arrested got sentenced for like, hey, here's Donald Trump shit and everybody else shit. They ain't paying. They was like, sir, you can't do that. You're under arrest. But too late information out there.
Yeah, I'm glad that this is what I think the IRS should be doing. I think the fact that we know they target and disproportionately audit Black-owned businesses, small businesses, it seems like, one, a waste of money and resources, and it can't possibly be recouping the amount of value from just going after the top wealthy people who barely pay taxes, if any, in America.
It's not, and people need to pay attention. This is I'm putting my conspiracy theory hat. I think this is one reason why a particular lot of Republicans want to cut and defund and not have as many agents and kind of fighting Joe Biden on expanding. Because the thing is, with a lot of these people, you actually need the resources to go after these people with this big money.
Yeah, because they can hire accountants, everything.
Right, and they're going to drag it, and you might have to take them to court. So a lot of times they want to keep the shit as small as fucking possible just so you don't have the resources in an army to go after their asses and get that motherfucking money from them. And so to coop that money, a lot of times they, you know, we did shit where they flag people. Sometimes people get audited almost every fucking year sometimes, and two and three times. You constantly ask to certify. That shit is fucking annoying, and they do that because they're like, we need to get this money. But the people they need to get the money from and get large amounts of money from actually takes time and effort. That's my controversial topic, and I will stand behind that one.
Yeah, yep, you got it, Karen. You got it. All right, let's move into another segment. I think we got everything we need to get out of that. Let's go to Karen's favorite segment. News. Who knows? It's time to talk about people that Karen probably doesn't know who we're talking about. We'll see if she knows today. Nick Grant.
Who? Well, you know, I don't know nobody by that name.
Karen does not know.
An actor?
He is not an actor.
Singer.
He is a rapper.
Okay.
You're very close, Karen, but you missed it by a lot.
I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry to this man.
Mm-mm.
Nick Grant believes that lyricism is still alive and well in hip-hop, but has said that it's not necessarily getting the push that it needs. The talented Wordsmith recently sat down with Hip Hop DX to promote his latest album, Sunday Dinner, where he was asked about Fabulous's recent sentiments that top-tier lyricism is hard to find in hip-hop today. While he agreed, Nick named a few newer artists he has his eyes on and noted that they need to be ushered in by bigger artists to get the shine they deserve. We got to stop hiring people that love the trolling, that love all the negative stuff that comes with it, and people that just love the microwave shit, he told Hip Hop DX. We got to get back to actually living and breathing the culture, the artist as well, too. He then highlighted some of the rising talent he thinks people should be paying attention to.
Okay.
So a lot of different young artists. The Marcus Clays.
I don't know who that is.
The Ruben Vincents of the world.
Child.
We got to push that. I've been here for a minute now, but these guys are younger. For Nick Grant, he believes that in order for the majority of new talent to succeed, they need to be ushered in by bigger stars such as Lil Wayne, Drake, Jay-Z, J. Cole, Rick Ross, Wale, Kanye West, did with multiple stars like Kid Cudi, Big Sean, Sia the Prince. It's tough when I say this because I always get pushed back, but lyricism is an old boys club. I feel like you got to be ushered in. I feel like the J. Cole's and Drake's, these guys are ushered in by Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. That's how I feel about it. If these guys that we know and love say you got it, then we believe them. We trust them. Even Kanye came in via Jay-Z. I get a lot of pushback from that. And no, it doesn't matter, but I feel like it matters. So, there you go, Karen. That is today's Who News. News.
Well, at least I know he rapping. I'm trying to tell you, you probably could read this article next week and I'll probably be like, who all over again? Who?
Well, I definitely believe that, Karen. I absolutely definitely do believe that's what happened.
Yeah, me too, because Chad, I'll be retaining.
We're just fucking with them people because they black. We're just fucking with them people because they black. We're just fucking with them black people. We're just fucking with them blacks. We're just fucking with black people. Hey, hey,
Duval. Issa Rae considers going independent following the cancellation of black shows. You're seeing very clearly that now that our stories are less of a priority. She expressed to Net A Porter that the cancellation of diverse series by TV executives highlight the diminishing priority placed on stories from black filmmakers. As I say all the time, the white guilt is a finite resource, and it's out. They ran out.
And I appreciate her saying that. And this is a cycle. As somebody who was of the quote unquote heyday, black television and TV has heydays. And I was of the era of The Cosby Show, A Different World, Leaving Single. Like, all these black shows were, like, for a few years, they were some of the highest rating shows. And they were, like, back-to-back Martin. Like, you know, all these shows with all these black people that did not get the accolades that they deserved at the time. And nor did they get the nominations and the awards and shit. Like, they would hit milestones and shit like that. You would hear people on some of these shows go, yeah, we hit these milestones and we wouldn't get, like, the big kudos that some of these white shows was getting. We wouldn't get, like, these big raises, a lot of, you know, and shit like that. And so you go, oh, okay. And as somebody who lived through that, then all of a sudden it changed. Everything was white is right again. And then when you have your Insecures, your Atlantas, you know, all these black shows coming on, I appreciated it. And in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this while this lasts, because this won't last for long. And that's why I appreciated Insecure, Issa having the ability to end that on her terms, and Atlanta ending on his terms. And I appreciate that, because most of the time, you get the shit where they don't know if they're going to get another season or not. So they wrap up everything in season one. Everybody's shocked and confused and they don't understand why. It's like, bitch, because they might not get a second season.
I just love that she's so outspoken about these issues. Ever, you know, even when she was like, "I'm rooting for everybody black," like, she's so intentional. I love the behind the scenes making of Insecure that they did at the end of the final season, because I've always seen it in her work, but to see how intentional she is about empowering, affirming, and making space for black people, black stories, and working, you know, in a positive environment is just, you know, I have nothing but respect for her. But it's moments, and I love her work, but it's moments like this that I stand, you know. This is why she's one of my favorite people on the planet when it comes to, at least, you know, as we can consume people, you know, mm-hmm. in social media and stuff. I don't know her. Mm-mm. But she's one of my favorite people because you can just see the intentionality. She says, you're seeing so, and she's saying something we've all noticed. She says, you're seeing so many black shows get canceled. You're seeing so many executives, especially on the DEI side, get canned. You're seeing very clearly now that our stories are less of a priority. Yeah, because multiple people have pointed out, even Yvette Nicole Brown did it a while ago. A lot of the people getting fired that were the first wave of fires before they started canceling all the shows, the DEI people. A lot of them being black women, you saw a lot of them being the first rows let go before the bloodletting started. And it was like, oh, and we also canceling all our black shows.
Yeah, because there's nobody in there advocating for them anymore.
And DEI is just a suggestion.
Yeah.
It's a thing that we have. It's a thing that the corporate structure will tolerate when convenient, but yes. Not when it's tough, when it really is going to cost them something, whether an opportunity, money, or they have to say no to some shit, then it's like, well, that's enough of that shit,
right? And they know that the last people in be the first people to go.
Yeah. So she says, I'm pessimistic because there's no one holding anybody accountable, and I can, sure, but also at what cost? I can't force you to make my stuff. It's made me take more steps to try to be independent down the line if I have to. Yeah. And I believe Rap Shit ended their season 2 on kind of like a cliffhangery thing. And it's like, I'm sure if she would have known, like, well, our shit is not coming back,
she would have wrote it completely different.
You probably, yeah, you know, or you maybe you want to take it somewhere else, like, hey, because what HBO is doing, Max is doing right now, is they film this shit, they put it in a can, and then they sell it to the highest bidder, like a Netflix or somebody, and go, y'all stream it, pay us money and y'all stream it. That's how little they care about the content, and they're not like trying to find new homes for the show. So it's not like they're saying, hey, Netflix will pay the budget for season 3 of Rap Shit. Y'all go make it over there. They're basically like, your shit is over, and also we're going to make money selling it, but no one's going to be able to watch it on here anymore. Or they can watch it here and Amazon or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And my thing, and like I said, open up my third eye again, when HBO got bought, they did that transition. I was like, hey, this company is known for doing cheap ass reality shows. They are not known for investing money in the shit. They just weren't known for that. So now you come over here to somebody that has a prestige name. Yeah, you're gonna keep some shit, but you're not gonna keep a lot of shit, because you're like, if we can do it cheaper, if we don't need it, why is it here?
Well, also, just it's not, to me, it's even worse than that, because it's just like, oh, we're just trying to save money, and so you cut everybody's shit. No. Game of Thrones is still gonna come on, and that ain't cheap.
No, it's not.
You know, so it's, you know, it ain't just a money saving thing. It's the money that we see is not essential is the shit that goes to the black shit, the DEI shit, quote mm-hmm. unquote. And that is the money that they're like, we could cut that out the budget. But if you were to say, like, so I guess there's no new season of, you know, blank whatever prestige white people show that costs millions. There's no True Detective or whatever. No, it's going to be a True Detective. Why the fuck would we cut that? You know?
Right. And it's so ridiculous, because like you said, they would, you know, say, okay, we're not renewing Rap Shit to put another show in there that won't get as much ratings, or to fucking play reruns of some shit that nobody's going to watch. It's going to get a fraction of the ratings. They'd rather do that than actually put some shit up there that people are going to watch.
Right. So, yeah. 0 to 100.
oh, this gets 100, and it will always get 100 to me. And I'm glad that Issa's in the place where she can make this decision and shit like that, or start considering these things. And she's very vocal about it. So she's saying, hey, I see y'all, basically. Like that's her thing, going, hey, I see y'all, and I see what y'all doing. And a lot of my shit is black shit.
Yeah, I give it a 50, mostly because of the circumstances that brought on the statement, but none of it for her because, you know, I think she's right, and I think black people are going to have to be forced to consider vehicles outside of the establishment once we get enough. I think, you know, who was way ahead of the curve on this shit? Tyler Perry.
Yes, decades of her.
I know motherfuckers don't like him. I know he got his shortcomings and all everything else y'all have to say about him. But at the end of the day, studios come to him to fill the film Star Wars and Black Panther, because
right.
He built that shit outside of their structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't like it, that's fine. If you don't like his work, that's fine. You know, whatever reasons you don't fuck with him, this is not an argument about that.
Right,
but you're noticing that the people that thought, fuck Tyler Perry, I'm going the studio route, a lot of these motherfuckers is sitting at home right now like, what the fuck am I going to do? You know, because your shit is totally up to somebody that's not your audience. You know, it's even the promotion of rap shit is not up to Issa Rae and them. It's up to HBO Max and what are they going to do? You know, are we going to give you the budget? Are we going to make this a commercial before every fucking thing? And when someone pulls the switch down and says, this one's over before you even get a chance for that second season, before it's even had a chance to resonate with people it's already hamstrung the fucking show, and now it's not getting renewed, and people do that chicken or the egg thing, like, well, it's kind of their fault. Not that many people were watching. It's like, well, why weren't people watching it?
A lot of people didn't even know the second season had it came out.
Well, also, it came out during the strike, so how you gonna promote it?
Right.
It's just shit like that, you know, it's real funky and foul, whereas if you were existing outside of that studio structure, where a lot of your stuff was independent, or the only deal you had with the studio was distribution. I mean, it allows you more freedom and a little bit more autonomy. And then the only thing that matters is, can you reach your audience and will they support what you do? And Issa, I think, has shown that she has an audience and they will support what she does. So it's fucked up to see like a show like this end. And more power to her. I hope she figures out a way to get outside that structure, because I know her work would be even more unfettered not having to deal with that bullshit.
Yes, and also the thing is with Tyler Perry and a lot of people, black people have always had to go outside of structure. And a lot of times with Tyler Perry, he super served his audience. And people underestimating super serving a marginalized people, or people that just feels like nobody gets them and nobody understands them, but nobody actually comes say, I got some shit, this shit for you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, because we're fed so much different shit from so much different genres, when we find something we like and we love, we hold on to it for dear life and we will support it to the end. And that has a lot to do with why, like, Tyler Perry's growth and all that shit. And I know people feel whatever way, but you know what? Them at church going grandmas is the niggas that got Tyler Perry to where he is today.
What time is it?
It's time to catch the race. It's time to catch the race. It's time to catch the race. It's time to catch the race.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the game that we all love and hate to play. It's Guess the Race, the game where we go around the globe, find different articles, and guess the race of the people involved. And even after all that woke DEI shit we were talking, we are indeed, in fact, racist. Karen will be playing, as will the chat room. And these are some racist people, y'all. This is actually pretty wild how racist they are. Let's go with the first story. A hotel VP accused of drunkenly slapping a teenage Disney World restaurant hostess three times over dress code snub. Yeah.
Oh, my.
A South Carolina man is set to make his first court appearance at a Walt Disney World Resort. Wait. Court appearance next month after he's accused of slapping a teenage hostess at a Walt Disney World Resort restaurant three times in the forehead. while under the influence because she refused to see him due to the restaurant's dress code. John Monroe, 64, was arrested and charged with battery after the altercation involving him and a 19-year-old hostess at Citrico's inside Disney's Grand Floridian Resort back in November. Monroe, no stranger to luxury hotels, is the vice president of hospitality sales and marketing at the prestigious Sea Pines Resort in Hilton Head, where he lives. So he has to know it's against the rules to slap hostesses. According to the arrest affidavit from Fox 35 Orlando, on November 19th, deputies with the Orange County Sheriff's Office responded to the resort in reference to a battery. A preliminary investigation revealed just before 7:30 p.m., a restaurant hostess was checking a family in who had a reservation for three. However, the group arrived with four people, two women and two men. According to the arrest reports, one of the men, identified as Monroe, was not dressed in accordance with the restaurant's dress code. He was wearing swim shirts and a T-shirt. And Citrico's website states that guests are expected to dress accordingly in attire that respects the restaurant's sophisticated and upscale aesthetic.
Oh, this must be one of them fancy places.
And it added explicitly, swimwear isn't allowed.
Ah, because they was like, we don't want people just walking off the beach in here with all that fucking sand.
But Monroe was wearing swim shorts and a T-shirt, and he was told by the hostess he would not be allowed to dine with his family. He seemed to understand, but said he'd wait with his group until they were seated. The hostess agreed to his request, but the situation escalated when she took the group to be seated moments later.
And he probably tried to walk in behind him.
He followed the party through their table, even though he was told he was not allowed to do so.
Right.
Please allow him to sit with us. He is really drunk, underdressed. It's my birthday, and I'm embarrassed, when the women told the host. When the host told Monroe he couldn't sit with the group, he began to repeatedly slap her in the forehead three times while stating her name, which he read on the name tag of her shirt. The hostess sustained no injuries and declined medical treatment and wished to pursue charges. Deputies caught up with Monroe, who they said was apparently intoxicated based on his slurred speech, glossy red eyes, and constantly repeating that he was going to sue Disney.
How you gonna sue Disney, bitch? You the one that came in here and acted a fucking fool. You act like the mouse ain't got cheese too, dog.
The mouse got nothing but cheese. Monroe was arrested and charged and released on $1,000 bond the next morning. He has also been placed on administrative leave from his, his resort. Surveillance video was not available. Prosecutors plan to use police body camera footage of the incident. He pled not guilty. Karen, guess the race of Mr. John Monroe.
A white.
Here it says white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. No shoes, no shirt, no service, white. Lindsey Graham, you okay, white? He went full Chad in his entitlement bag, white. Hilton Head, white. It's my white, right, white. White entitled asshole. Ron DeSantis still trying to mouse, huh? White. No. If this ain't some whiteness, white. Don't you know who I am, whiteness? That's some caucasity right there. The correct answer is white. No one missed it. Let me show you his picture.
Right, and the people at the party, assholes too, for asking her to bend the rules.
Yeah.
Just be like, nigga, you can't come in here, dog. Or either we all just need to go somewhere else to eat.
Also, like, 64 is too old to be that kind of a drunk person. You know what I mean? Like, right. 64, like, I'm not saying you can't get drunk at 64. I'm not saying you can't have a few sips. But, like, wear swimming trunks to a fancy restaurant and hit people in the head and make a scene. Nigga, you are 64. What the fuck is your problem?
Right.
Like,
then talking about I'ma sue Disney. It's like, bitch, for why? Because we told you you couldn't come here because you wasn't wearing the attire.
And yeah, I get what you're saying. You kind of are an asshole, even if you're his friend. Just because I feel like if my homeboy was that out of control and it's my birthday, I'm like, well, we can't go to the fancy restaurant.
Right.
They said they can't seat you.
That right.
You're fucking hammered.
Yes.
You're making a scene. Just stop.
I'd have been like, y'all, let's just go somewhere else. Or I'd have looked at you and be like, bitch, you just can't eat. This is you go. So you guess you're going to be waiting out of the car.
Right.
A choice has got to be made.
Well, let's keep it Florida. Completely naked Florida man barters in a church thrift stop and steals T-shirt.
Apparently he needed it.
Yeah.
Did he do some pants too? Or he just Daffy Ducking it?
He was right. Winnie the Pooh.
Right. He only got half a shirt, half the outfit.
It was a half off sale. He just said the top half. I'll take the top half then. I said, no, it's buy one, get one free. He's like, yeah, I'm taking the free shirt. The buy one pants, so I'll keep that. He was charged with indecent exposure after the incident that unfolded at Wings of Faith thrift store. According to the thrift stop's website, the ministry offers low prices and donations to needy people, and profits are used to assist various mission projects.
I'm needy.
I'm very needy. It's an extremely low price. It's free.
The laws are the low.
Write me off on your taxes. What's the problem?
A 5-figure discount.
Deputies responded to the church thrift store after several people flagged law enforcement down to report there was a naked man running around everywhere. Witnesses say he was wearing glasses and had a pair of blue shorts with him. And despite
a pair of blue shorts, apparently he wasn't wearing.
And deputies were able to find the man, identify as DaCosta, who matched the description about a mile away from the store. He ran away from somewhere naked and went to the thrift store to gather some clothes. What if, isn't this just a plot to Terminator 1?
Yeah.
Isn't this how Reese got his shit? Or
did y'all go check the ground? Is there like an indention in the ground somewhere? Right.
Was he like, give me your clothes?
Is there some dead bikers somewhere? What's happening here?
Hey, man, did you see a bright light? Like, why do I know that movie so well?
I love that goddamn movie.
What was it? Your clothes, give them to me or whatever. Anyway. But yeah, what if we found out this motherfucker from the future? We just real time travel is real, and the headline is he was naked. That's not what we care about.
That is not what we care about.
This man is trying to stop Skynet. Y'all know yes. We got AI and come Elon Musk.
It's closer than we think.
Right. This man is out here trying to stop the time loop, and we worried about him not wearing pants.
Right.
Priorities, people.
Our priorities is all wrong.
But yeah,
he's looking for Sarah Connor.
He allegedly, all that fucking future technology, this nigga's looking in the yellow pages for Sarah Connor. For real? How that makes sense? He allegedly entered the store fully nude, and a clerk at the thrift shop gave him a pair of shorts and told him to leave. But he wound up still in a t-shirt on his way out, still completely naked.
They was like, you know what? Okay. Oh, yes. Sir, just get out my shop with your naked ass.
Right. They gave him a pair. But my thing is, if they gave him a pair of shorts, why couldn't you also give him a shirt? Like, why are you trying to be the head employee? Are you Mr. Wings of Thrift?
I thought he already had some shorts he wasn't wearing.
No, the clerk gave him some shorts. That's what I just read.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the people were saying they found him with the shorts, but this is after the clerk had gave it to him. Okay.
I don't know that he put them on, but they listen to what I'm saying. He was wearing glasses and had a blue. This is when they found him. The police found him.
Okay.
When he was in the thrift shop, the person that worked there, the clerk, gave him the pair of shorts and told him to leave. But he wound up stealing the t-shirt on his way out. Still completely naked, so he hadn't put on anything yet.
He just took it.
He made no efforts to cover his genitalia while in the store and was acting erratic. Well, wouldn't you be acting erratic if fucking Skynet was coming?
You trying to warn people?
Are clothes really the most important part of this story right now?
I don't think they are.
Adding that she wished to pursue criminal charges for exposure of sexual organs, the store manager also wanted criminal charges for retail theft of the t-shirt, which value at $5. I'm sorry, this is not very Christian-like. I know.
$5.
I'm sorry, but y'all couldn't let that go.
Not even a misdemeanor count, is it?
He was transported to the jail where he remains on $6,000 bond. A third charge was added for a probation violation of a domestic violence injunction.
Oh, you don't say.
Now, where did that come into it? And why is that not in the article?
Right. That should have been at the top.
Oh, I see. Maybe any crime is probably a violation of his parole.
Okay.
I thought maybe like somebody he wasn't supposed to be in contact with was at the store or something.
Like he was out there and it was like, oh, by the way, you violate your parole because you're out here breaking laws.
Yeah. All right. Guess the race.
White.
All right. Let's check the chat room. His name was Michael DaCosta, for those in the chat. What in the Reno 911 is going on here? If the Terminator was made out of Bud Light cans, quite the nudity said white, but the charges say black. Black. Kyle Reese equal white. Damn it, Morty. One of the Rick clones got out white. Well, Karen, you said white.
Mm-hmm.
The correct answer is white. I believe somebody said black. The new booze don't play that shit.
I know. They go straight into the booze. He look like the Unabomber.
Don't he? Yeah. So they had to put him in jail. All right. It's time to go to the bonus round. Karen is actually 2 for 2 today.
Yay!
So let's go to the Mo Racist version.
I ain't racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggers. Just call them niggers.
It's time to get
gold teeth, gold chain it's wearing, fried chicken and biscuit eating monkey, eight baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
A man sentenced to 100 years for killing coworker who stole his lunch from the work fridge.
I know some people feel like that. They might say it. I don't ever think they're going to go through with it.
Let's hear them out.
Because a lot of people get very upset. People go, I bought my lunch in here and at one of my jobs. People were stealing so much shit. People started putting like shit in their food because it was like, I'm tired of people stealing my shit and making them sick.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to weed them out.
Did they find out who did it?
Yeah, because they ended up.
What job was this? You don't want to say what job it was.
No. Okay.
All right, you never told me this story.
It's like, I'm tired of you.
Was it you? Is that why you don't want to say?
No, it was not me.
Okay. Was you the one stealing it or you was the one that poisoned it?
Nope. I didn't do any of this. I got a bag that was like insulated and shit. I was like, I'm not putting any of my stuff in the refrigerator. I'm getting a bag just like super cold.
Wow. But you, why don't you want to tell any of the details of the story? What is there like something? What is the reason?
What do you mean? Like,
I asked you like what job it was.
Not at where I'm working now, but my other job. My okay. old job, yes.
And what happened? Like the person needed to use the bathroom or they...
Yeah, from what I heard, like I said, it wasn't something that I witnessed, but from what I heard, that's what they were saying. They was like, yeah, the person got sick because they would wait until like literally most people were gone like at like in the afternoon because it was like very few, you know, people, you know, most people get off early.
Yeah.
They was like, yeah, they got sick and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you people?
Wow. They really took a chance. Like, motherfuckers die from peanut allergies. I'd be scared as hell to do that.
You don't know what people have in there. People pumping their breast, milk, all types of shit be in that refrigerator. You don't know.
Well, a man is convicted of murdering his coworker after the man stole his lunch from the work refrigerator at a Virginia Target. He was sentenced to 100 years in prison. Bazin Berhe, 25, received a 100-year sentence with 30 years suspended, meaning he'll serve at least 70 years. He was found guilty of first degree murder.
Did the judge get that lunch stolen too?
Well, you won't have to worry about lunch in prison.
Mm-mm.
Everyone gets the same 3 meals. He was found guilty of first degree murder after he planned and carried out the murder of his coworker, Hernan Lieva, 58, in the parking lot of the Target. So he didn't put no, he said, I'm gonna wait till you leave. He grew angry after he found out that Lieva, who was a janitor at Target, had taken his lunch from the office refrigerator several days earlier. Was it a janitor at your job?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
It was an employee.
Berhe decided to kill Lieva, purchasing a hammer and 2 knives 2 days before the murder. So it was, that's bad, because you're plotting out the crime. Like, you can't say it was a crime of passion. Like, oh, I saw him eat my sandwich. I lost my mind. You started planning that murder.
They have been thinking about that lunch all damn day. Opened it up and was like, lost their mind.
He went to customer service to put two knives on layaway.
Yeah, because you can't afford it off what they pay you, baby.
He's like, wait till we get paid.
Wait till we get paid. That's 2 hours. These knives is 2 hours of my wages.
Your ass is mine on Thursday after midnight.
Right? When that direct deposit hit.
Mm-hmm. Direct deposit gonna hit, then I'm gonna hit. The morning of April 17th, he arrived at the employee parking lot early and waited for Leiva. When Leiva, or Leiva maybe, Leiva? Anyway, he headed to his car. Burry stabbed and bludgeoned him to death. Burry was arrested and later confessed to the killing and pled guilty in October. Prosecutor said at his sentencing hearing that he threatened to kill or hurt other people if he was not given the harshest possible sentence. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, so yeah, okay, so that's why they smacked you with 100. They're like, oh, no, you ain't never getting out.
He must have just started going down the line then.
He had a list.
He's Bertha parked in my fucking parking spot. She's a dead woman if I get out.
And Timothy stole my favorite ink pen. I will slice him up.
Right. Burry described his actions to the judge as a fit of rage. Yeah, that's hard to do when you plotted it out for at least several days, buddy. And you're saying you're going to kill more people. That's not a fit of rage. That's just state of rage.
That's just rage.
You're always like that.
Yes, you are.
But yeah, guess the race.
A white.
Karen says white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe.
Excuse me.
Okay, I see. It was a beef keto burrito. Built Mexican. All right, Dendrick. Going with Mexican. Whitey gone white. Name again. Oh, his name is... Hold on. Bazen Berhe. Bazen Berhe. Yeah, I know. It's like something made up in Scrabble. I don't know. Latino. Former Target Two-Face will see no light white. He's been some of the way about his coworker's white serial killer. White is the receipt on the murder weapon.
Oh, no.
I just know that his first name is a plate of seasoning. White, white, Middle Eastern, Eastern European, Serbian. The correct answer is, and you all got it wrong, he's black. Oh. Now, I don't know if he, quote unquote, FBA, ADOS or whatever, but that's a black dude. Like he, you know, maybe he's from some other place originally or something, or he got some Ethiopian descendants or something, that's the, you know, family tree, but yeah, he black to me. So,
good child, he really wanted that food.
Man, right? Team Petty, I guess.
Right? He kept that same energy.
Call him Tom Petty. Man, you gotta be in jail for the rest of your life because you were like, a motherfucker ate my lunch. And that's worth prison forever.
No, it's not. I can always go buy some more lunch.
Right. That's, man, I don't know. This guy, oh, thank God for my calm demeanor. I don't know how people make it with all this, like,
pent up rage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna kill somebody in 2 days over a fucking half a ham sandwich.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit, particularly like when you're in the office that I just let roll off because I'm like, this shit ain't that goddamn important.
Except for that time you poisoned that person and took your lunch.
I did not. That was not me.
You didn't want to get no details. It sounded like it was you.
I promise you it was not. I kept mine at my desk in my expensive as bag.
That's what the killer would say. Man!
Toronto, January 29th. A 23-year-old...
Oh, this is just them reading the article. I guess I can do it. A 23-year-old man was arrested for allegedly making threats and aggressively swinging two large swords inside of a Sikh temple in Canada's British Columbia province.
Oh, shit!
Officers responded to the disturbance during an evening service inside of Penticton Sikh Temple. Police said one person was taken into custody and released later to attend the provincial court at a future date. Investigations are underway by our area Mounties into the incident, which saw no one get injured. Of course, it's Canada. Why didn't get hurt? The temple raised a statement saying that it was an unruly group of non-society members inside the temple.
Non-society? What
that's what
that
they
mean?
Said about Jesus, okay? This same group was recently barred from the Sikh temple by the duly elected committee. As a community-driven society, we take these acts of violence and threats seriously for the safety of our congregation and those in the community who attend the various programs hosted on the site. Safeguards have been put in place to ensure no repeated incident, which I got metal detectors.
Right.
Y'all got suits of armor. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
It's regrettable such an incident is taking place. As a committee, we will ensure that the Gurdwara will remain a welcoming and safe place for the Penticton community. So there you go. They swinging swords in the temple, y'all. It's
apparently
wild.
So.
Thanks for listening, guys. That's it for the week until Saturday. We appreciate y'all and hope everybody's doing well. Thank you for all the listeners and stuff. We're at the store. We ran into Erica, who listens to the show, who came to a live show before.
Yes.
And it was fun. And I just have to say, man, we had the best fans.
We do.
We have great interactions with our fans all the time. Y'all are like really salt of the earth good people. Mm-hmm. And I always say that their fans are a reflection of the artist, and if y'all are a reflection, then we are doing a great job.
We are.
So all right, y'all, we'll talk to you later. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.